Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Dr. Kenneth Prewitt, director of the U.S. Bureau of the Census. Well, one of the things that I've always found fascinating is the census is a scientific undertaking conducted in a political environment. And I'm curious about how you balance those challenges as well as what the implications for other public sector managers are.
That's a very important question, of course, and Census 2000 is unusually been politicized in a highly partisan way. I think the simplest answer is that from a management point of view, you have to keep insisting that the way you collect the data is a scientific exercise. The way the data are used can be a political or legal set of considerations. For example, there is really no Republican or Democratic way to do a war on cancer. The Democrats and Republicans may decide to differ on how much money they want to put in the war on cancer. They may decide who they want to make the benefits available to. But the actual science that goes into that is by definition, doesn't have any ideology connected to it, or should never have any ideology connected to it. And of course, the scientists are doing it, NIH and so forth, are doing it completely indifferent to the partisan implications. It's the same thing with the census. A census, the actual collection of the data has to be done according to the most advanced, rigorous scientific methods. And that's what we have tried to do. If the political process decides to use the data this way instead of that way, we're completely relaxed with that. Our challenge is to get the data right and then let them be used in the way that the political process decides they're most effectively used. From a management point of view, then, I had to constantly try to remind our political overseers that our job is to give you the data. Your job is to decide how you want to use it, not my job. And when I was asked those kinds of questions, I simply said, no, I'm turning it over to you. But here's how we believe the data can be conducted, collected in the most accurate fashion. It's a long, complicated question, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but I can only say that the boundaries between sort of science and politics are very important boundaries for this government to consider, to make certain that when you're doing science, do science. And then when you're making a decision about the applications of science, whether it's a test ban treaty, whether it's the census numbers, whether it's how to make an investment in public health, then let politics come in. But when you're actually doing the science, just do the science.
How do you think the census in 2010 will be different from the census 2000?
Well, quickly, I think 2010 may be radically different on some important dimensions. First, we would like, by the time we get to 2010, to have taken the long form, and instead of asking it in the decennial environment, we would like to ask that as a survey every month on a continuous basis. We call that the American Community Service Survey, or continuous measurement. So that by the time we get to 2010, we won't even have a long form. We will already have those data for the American people, and we've already put in place what we need to do in order to make that happen. That means we will just be collecting the short form data, the small number of questions and the basic count itself. We think if that comes to pass, that we can use technology much, much more aggressively than we did in 2000. For example, we would expect to have many, many more internet filers. We innovated. We tried out the internet this year. About 70,000 people, including myself, did use the internet to file. But we were fairly prudent, as I said earlier. You have to be prudent in a census environment until you make sure that your systems work. But we would expect to have a much higher percentage of internet filers. The other major thing that we will do in 2010, as I said earlier, a census is two things. It's both a count and it's assignment of you to a location. Well, we would like to use geographic positioning systems, of course. We would like to have a much more refined way to identify where every structure is in the United States, so it's much easier to make certain that we get people to the right address, because that's really critical for the success of a census. So I would imagine the census almost being a postcard internet census, a very simple census, using geographic positioning as a way to kind of get the address file up to date, and then having already collected the long-form data on an ongoing survey basis.
One of the most interesting trends in government is the increased use of public-private partnerships. What type of partnerships have been developed in the Census Bureau?
We always had a number of small partners, especially doing evaluation work for us. We contract with other survey professionals. But in 2000, we used the contracting partnership work much, much more extensively. data collection, as I said, Lockheed Martin and TRW, that was a very large, that was almost $1 billion a bit of work. All of the paid advertising was, of course, contracted out. I would imagine by the time we get to 2010 that we will maintain certainly those kinds of contracts. We'll be adding other kinds of contracts. For example, if you were doing something very complicated in geographic positioning, you may well be working with other private contractors. So I would say that the government cannot itself have all of the technological capacity, knowledge that it needs to manage large technical enterprises the way the census is, and therefore it will do much, much more work with the private sector. Census is complicated because the data are confidential. So the one thing you can't contract out is the actual data collection, because we have such a deep responsibility to maintain the confidentiality of the data. But the processing, the address work, a lot of other features of it can be done with the with private industry.
What do you think will be the major challenges the Bureau will face in the decade ahead?
I think one of the important things is to get the American people to understand really how important census data are to them, because we do depend finally on the cooperation of the American people. If they won't answer the questions, we don't have good data. If you don't have good data, it's very difficult to do economic planning, it's difficult to do government. We're in a point of history where we're almost hitting a, how can I put it, a sort of an impasse between, on the one hand, our insatiable need for information, and on the other, our desire for privacy, confidentiality. And the Census Bureau is kind of caught in the middle of those two pressures. I think we have to convince the American people that we hold their data confidential. We don't want to infringe on their privacy. But their answers really are critical to how well this economy works. We have just finished what could be called the first measured century. And I think there's a relationship between how well we have measured ourselves, our economic activities, our demographic and population characteristics, and how well we've built this economy. And that's going to continue into the 21st century.
One of the things that's come up through our conversation tonight is the role of technology and its importance and how it's even helped reduce costs. How do you keep the employees trained on up-to-date technology?
That's a very, very serious challenge. And we do have in-house special programs, of course, but it's a fast-moving system out there. I think the Census Bureau, because it's very large, it has to be, as I said earlier, cautious about bringing in innovations before they've been tested. But we simply do it with in-house training programs and intern programs and sending people out when we can. I do think we need, as an agency, we need a somewhat more put this just right. We need a good working partnership with the places where the technology is being innovated. We do bring in people. We have seminars. We bring in people from outside to explain what they're doing. But I think we're going to have to do more of that to make certain that the Census Bureau maintains that kind of maintains its current state with the new technologies that are going to be available.
Any big surprises in terms of thinking about it 3 or 4 years ago and one day being in charge and now being in charge and seeing how it all worked out?
I think the biggest surprise for me, and certainly the most exciting and rewarding surprise, was the way in which the American people participated in this. The big difference in 2000 census and 1990, and I think this continues in 2010, is we actually tried to design a census where we shared the responsibility with the American people, with local mayors and governors, with community leaders, with advocacy groups. It's maybe the first big federal task which was really done in active partnership with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We had 120,000 different partner organizations with us. As a management challenge, that was tough, because you got to maintain quality control, you got to maintain standardization, but you're now working with lots and lots of people who think they own the census. And so that became one of the really interesting management challenges. I think it was a very major part of our success, and I would hope that this will be just as true in 2010.
Well, I want to thank you, Kenneth, for spending time with us tonight. I've enjoyed our conversation very much. Thank you.
Sure. My pleasure.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, Conversation with Government Leaders. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the PricewaterhouseCoopers Endowment for the Business of Government. To learn more about the endowment's programs and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness, visit us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. See you next week.